Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And we have a patron-chosen episode today.
Ooh.
It's a new release. So many.
Oh my gosh, double whammy.
New releases out right now. I had to turn to the patrons for help because we just don't have time to cover them all.
Wow.
That's very exciting. And if you're very excited and you don't want to wait a single second, you can click on the timestamps in the show notes, jump straight to our recap of this week's movie. Because first, we got a little bit of haunted housekeeping.
Woohoo.
Decided that I'm going to start giving us some horror news as it breaks.
Love it. Love it.
It's not an update on Rob Pattinson's child.
Sometimes they'll be.
Suki released a picture holding the baby. Not of the baby. You can't see the baby's face, but there is a picture of Suki holding the baby. So pretty huge. So there actually was some haunted housekeeping on that front.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Do you remember when Emily Ratajkowski posted the photo of her and her baby? Where she's holding him like lopsided, and
it's like he's dangling, and people gave her so much shit.
Hot in her little bikini. Oh, it really made me laugh. What a great photo! I wish Suki had released a photo that was like that.
That would have been fun. That really would have been fun.
She looked too hot. It should have been illegal. It was like, you're too hot to be holding a baby. That's really the problem. How you're holding the baby? Who cares?
And that was to have birthed that baby.
Yeah, it's not allowed.
It's a crime against women everywhere.
Once you become a mom, you're not allowed to be hot. We all know it. Pick one.
Henley, you're under arrest.
You're under arrest because you're too hot. And you're not allowed.
Thank you. Thank you. That's where I was trying to get the conversation to go.
But okay, no, Rob and Sookie news aside, that's obviously first and foremost.
Yeah.
But a couple other updates. There is a Maxine trailer that by the time this episode comes out, it will be out. We're recording this on Sunday. So at this time, it comes out tomorrow, Monday of this week. And wow. Maxine, we've just been waiting for it.
I'm excited.
I am really hoping that this trailer rules.
That's July, right? Is it July?
I think so.
That it comes out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it actually is or if in my mind I just am like, that's a great time for Maxine to come
it's
out.
It's a summertime film.
I decided.
Mm-hmm. Yes. July 5th. Got it written here.
Oh.
Perfect.
So anyone out there that's interested, go look up that trailer. It'll be live when this episode comes out. Can't wait to see that. The Night Bitch got a release date.
Night Bitch got a release date.
December 6th.
Yay! I want to read the book first.
The book is really good. I read it a couple months ago. Really loved it. And then the last thing is not necessarily horror related, but it feels relevant to this podcast, which is that they announced that there's a new Matrix movie coming.
They did.
What? Directed by Drew Goddard, who directed Cabin in the Woods.
Yes.
And we're not feeling, we don't know how to feel about this.
We don't know how to feel about it.
Nobody from the original trilogy has signed on. I can't tell if it's supposed to be a sequel or a remake, full like reboot.
Oh boy, that would really, I would really not feel good about that.
I don't really feel good about any option.
No, we'll, you know, we'll wait and see. I'm not optimistic. But I love to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
Prove us wrong, Drew.
Drew, you know what you have to do, which is to prove us wrong.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. I don't know. Just felt worth bringing up because I'm confused about it and, you know, keeping an eye on it.
Yeah. You got to keep an eye.
But that's all I got for horror news today. So now tell me. If anything scary happened to you guys this week.
Well, you guys know that I survived the big one.
She survived the big
East
Coast earthquake.
Did you put on, what music did you put on to celebrate?
Jonas Brothers blasting. Dancing around my living room, grateful to be alive. No, actually, I was in my bedroom and it was very windy that day, and my house kind of shakes when it's windy,
right?
And so there was one moment where it really shook, like it shook really hard, and I was like, I guess it's just the wind. It was not the wind.
It was
an earthquake, a magnitude of 4.8,
which is not epicenter nothing. That is a
near
real
New Jersey
earthquake,
and that was near. It's not far from where I am in Connecticut, and it was, you know, it was. I thought it was the wind, so obviously not a big deal. However,
but if you lived in California still, you probably would have thought it was an earthquake.
Yeah,
why would you have thought it was an earthquake?
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't expecting
an earthquake. I was going to say that not a lot of earthquakes over there.
I think I think everything's an earthquake here. A truck drives by.
Literally 10 times a day, I'm like, earthquake, earthquake.
Yep,
because I'm on such high
movement,
alert for them.
I think it's an earthquake. So I feel like if you were in a state of constant earthquake awareness,
sometimes
you would have known.
Cat runs like too fast down the hall.
Once Birdie was licking her butt on the bed, and I thought it was an earthquake.
That's amazing. Birdie's huge. Birdie's
and
huge.
She has a crazy sandpaper tongue, the most sandpapery tongue of any cat on earth. And so it really felt like an earthquake.
It's absolutely rumbling.
But the middle school near us had to close down because for a few days because it created all these cracks everywhere
Lord.
In the school. And it made me look around my house. I'm looking at one right now. There's a freaking huge ass crack right in front of me. There like four cracks in our bathroom. And I was like, Tim, have these been here? And he was like, I was noticing the same thing. And I don't know whether I just didn't notice them before.
Oh, no.
Like, have these been here or not? This house obviously is very old. These cracks could be old. These old cracks, I don't know.
These old cracks.
But part of me's worried that they came here because it really did shake. Like, I was on the phone with my mom and I was like, whoa, the wind is really crazy today. Cause it was like, whoa, 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 in here. And it wasn't until Tim texted me and was like, that was a fucking earthquake. I was like, what?
That's so weird. When was the last time that happened over there?
I don't know. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. And I think the thing that it made me realize is I was like, I am not on high alert enough. I was like, that wind is just crazy today. But it could have been, there could have been a real disaster happening right in front of me. And I was just like, la-di-da.
You know, but what would you have done if had it? You know what I mean? I think if a disaster happens that really requires you to be stressed, you'll stress out. You know?
I know, where will I go?
Why would you have needed no idea. To? Why would you need to be stressed? You survived.
I go under my desk. I've done it twice that I've ran under my desk because I feel like
that's really good, Sammy. I don't
move. The sturdiest part. Well, you know, I'm absolutely don't move because I'm on the first floor of a very unsafe.
That's right. You do
building.
Want an earthquake bed.
There are cracks all over my house, Henley, and I've pointed them out to my landlord before, and he says that's just the house settling.
Settling.
And I'm like, it's about to settle right on top of me one of these days.
Yeah, I don't want it to keep settling. I want it to be settled. I would like my house to be settled already.
Right. What is the logical conclusion of it settling?
He comes and spackles over it. It's like, you're going to spackle that? That's not going to do shit.
I guess the only, what's the solution though? You have to like tear the place down.
Yeah, see, I feel like when I see cracks in my place, which there are also cracks that have been spackled and have re-cracked, I think because there are so many earthquakes here, I think, well, I mean, that's survived so far. You know, right. that's how I assuage myself, which is like, but that's only true until it's not.
Right.
But in my mind, that's a foolproof method of, that means that it's going to be fine forever.
Yeah. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And that applies to structural integrity.
Foundations. Yeah.
Completely.
Completely. No questions
anyway,
asked.
It was exciting. And I thought of you guys because, you know, we were in an earthquake together and it bonded us for life.
It did. Biggest one I've ever felt.
That was really scary.
It was scary.
A really scary one. It was a 7-point-something, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that one was really big and wild.
Well, we were also just on top of a hill with a lot of other people. And
I
think that made it scarier.
Sitting directly on the earth.
On the earth as it rolled. That was a rolly one. For those unfamiliar with earthquakes, some are jolty. Some feel like a cat licking their butt. some are like a side to side. And some are rolly. Like truly, truly, the earth feels like it's in a, like when you like wave a sheet, you know?
Yes.
And that's what that one felt like. It was really spooky.
Henley, I meant to tell you, I got back into Shogun, and there is an earthquake episode that's a rolly earthquake, and it's so scary.
Oh, I'm going to watch Shogun. I finished Justify, which is devastating, but I need to watch Shogun now.
Shogun is so good. And just real quick, the other thing I want to tell you guys is tomorrow, I'm going to see the eclipse. Driving to Burlington, Vermont.
It's tomorrow.
That in the Path of Totality?
Yep, Path of Totality.
Do you like how, like, casually I just said that sentence? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, is that, that's really exciting, Henley. My family went and got an Airbnb in Ohio to get into the Path of Totality.
I have a friend that's flying to Texas
a lot of people are going to Texas.
Yeah.
It's hopefully there's clear skies so you can really experience it. Obviously, when this episode comes out, it'll be after the eclipse. So hope everybody had a good, safe eclipse. I took a Pilates class yesterday with a very woo-woo teacher who told everybody, you know, take care during the eclipse tomorrow. It's, you know, I'm going to be staying in all day. I don't know about you. I'm going to be hiding out all day from the eclipse. It's an eclipse in Aries. So, you know, in Aries season, so a lot of really intense energy. So hope everybody did well during the eclipse. I don't really know what that means, but just hope that the eclipse treated you well. And I'm so excited to hear what it's like, Hen.
I know. I'm excited, too. I'm a little worried that there's going to be crazy traffic going into Burlington. We need to leave at like 6 a.m. tomorrow. But I read an article about this man who is like an eclipse chaser today, and he's seen like a shit ton of total eclipses. solar eclipses. And he says each one was a very different experience. But one thing that happens is that as like you get closer and closer to the totality happening, shadows change. Ooh. And they become shadows like warp, and they become completely different than how they normally are. And he said, I was looking at my hands and my hands looked like claws instead of hands.
Which is your dream.
Because of, yeah, they looked like curved.
Wolverine claws?
I know. I know. So I was like, maybe I'll sprout Wolverine claws.
Antlers?
Clogs.
Wow. Wow. I read an article that was really compelling and made me someday want to go and experience this, that, you know, the whole world for that moment in the path thinks it's becoming night. So they said that the article said that streetlights came on.
Yeah.
Birds stopped chirping.
Yes.
That's just so bizarre.
Whoa. I know. I know.
Sorry to bring this up, but reminds me of Gerald's Game. There's an eclipse.
Oh, ew, fuck. I forgot that was even involved in Gerald's Game.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it. You're going to have a totally different experience.
How dare you?
Fingers crossed.
Hey, when you're listening to this after the eclipse, hope nobody had a Gerald's Game.
Yep.
Fingers crossed for that, always. Wow, I'm really excited to hear about it. I'll get any recaps from you, recaps from my family. If anybody else is in the totality, let us know freaking what it was like. I'm really intrigued.
What about you guys?
A wild thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something scary did happen to me this week. Very unrelated, but something scary did happen to me this week. And so I now get off work at 4:30, which is a dream. And I thought that meant that it would be much easier for me to be active after work, get a little exercise, maybe get a little fresh air. But the deal is, if I come home, if I enter my home, it doesn't matter what time it is, I ain't leaving. I'm being cozy. Yes.
I'm such a morning exerciser. I like, even with no job, I will not exercise in the second half of the day. It's just like, that's not exercise time for me.
I can't do morning exercise because I would just rather continue to sleep. Also, now my work is 8 to 4:30. And what, am I going to be one of those people who takes a 6 a.m. exercise class like some fucking freak?
I used to do that.
I absolutely.
I'd wake up at 5:30 for a 6 a.m. class.
Yeah, no, I 100% will never do it. I also don't want to get all dirty before I have to get ready for work. There's just a lot of I want to come home. I want to exercise, take a shower, be in pajamas, go to bed. I mean, I don't want to, but if I'm going to, that's what I have to do. But I have been feeling my job. My last job, which I didn't like, but I was a lot more active because it was a big space and it was really disorganized and chaotic. So I was constantly running around looking for things. So I was moving a lot and it was two stories. So I didn't feel the need to exercise as much. I felt active. I don't feel as active in this job. So I really have been, I just have been feeling a little blah and wanting to exercise. So I signed up for ClassPass, which is a thing I used pre-pandemic because I need to find exercise classes that I can take on my way home from work. Like, never go home, just exercise and then get home. So I signed up for ClassPass and I was just looking for what's on my way home and what's at the time that I can take it. And I found a rowing class, which I've never done before.
I love rowing.
Wow.
But I've been interested in it. And again, on my way home from work at the right time. So bing, bang, boom.
I've never done a rowing class, but I'll like use a rowing machine at a gym.
Yeah, I'd never done it before, but I was intrigued. I like a machine. I like strength.
I bought a rowing machine during the pandemic.
I remember.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
I had forgotten. Where were you planning to keep it?
I kept it in the because it would fold up vertically. So it was just
right
in the back room. But yeah, it didn't last long. I sold it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to have one in my home. They're big.
They're really big. Yeah.
So, I don't like cardio. I won't. Don't make me run. Don't make me jump. Don't make no fucking way. So, but strength, I thought, okay, I could do this. So, first time doing this new exercise activity, I show up and it's in downtown, which is a little weird of an area. I have to get buzzed in. I go up. The guy who lets me in is we're just chatting. You know, we walk into the space. There's nobody in there. Lights are off. He turns the lights on. We're just making kind of awkward small talk to people who don't know each other. And I realize nobody else is coming.
Oh, no.
Wait, didn't this happen to you just recently?
I don't know. This is the first time. I had to take an exercise class alone with a strange man.
Oh, no. Wait, no. With aerial yoga, you were like one of the only people in there. So you felt like you had to do it, right?
Oh, my God. It was when I did aerial dance.
Oh, aerial dance.
But at least I was a woman and I knew her. Mm-hmm. There was one other person. That was awful because aerial dance is psychotic and should be illegal. I know. This, it should be illegal for a man to be alone with a woman he doesn't know in a situation that she is doesn't know that's the situation she's entering into. Now, I will say he was nice. He did not attack or murder me, and it was a perfectly fine experience. But I mean, if you had told me I was going to show up there alone, I would have done anything to not go.
Yeah.
Was it like a gym or wait, what kind
of? It was a rowing room. There were probably five rowing machines, five or six. So it's like a smaller space. But I mean, good God, I should not have been there alone. And it was so also like truly alone, like literally physically, like nobody else there, him and me. He unlocked it, taught me this fucking class, and then I left. Nobody else there. At one point, we were stretching at the beginning, facing each other, just me and this stranger.
It's so intimate. No.
It's too intimate. Making fucking small talk, because what else are we supposed to do?
No, that's also horrible.
It was a place with big windows, but so he didn't turn the lights on because he didn't need to turn the lights on, but he was had his back to the window, so
he could see me fully lit,
and I could not see his face at all. And so I'm just making small talk and stretching and trying to do anything not to look at this man in the face. I don't even know where his face is. And it just was then I got on the rowing machine, and thankfully I like had somewhere else to put my attention. But then at one point, so we do some rowing, we stretch, we do some rowing, we get up. He made me do a little bit of cardio. I had to do some jumps, and I wanted to be like, sir, absolutely not. You don't
like, I don't want to.
I don't want to. I'm alone. It just was not what I thought I was signing up for. And I literally never would have done it had I known. It's Emily, fine. I survived. But
I'm really sorry, but I think rowing is cardio. It's
well,
that's
seated
great. Cardio.
I'll do seated cardio, which is why I like it.
It
did get to be cardio, but I can do basically. I can also do cardio if it is for a purpose. I can take a dance class because I'm learning the dance. My brain is focused. I'm not just gonna do some jumping jacks. Hey, run this thing. Hey, do this fucking. I had to do a like lunge jump thing.
It'd be funny if you were like, no, I'm not going to do that. Because you're the only one there. It's like, what? You're gonna fucking make me do that?
Make me. Fucking make me.
Oh, my God.
I cannot anger a man in a situation where it's only two of you alone in a room.
You don't want to be antagonistic.
You must be acquiescent. Anyway, it was really scary and I made it through, but I did not like it.
Oh, I don't like it at all. Emily, I'm so glad you're okay.
One hour long.
One full hour. Wow. I was praying for 45 minutes.
One full hour.
Oh, well, I'm really glad that you made it. And I presume you won't be going back to that studio.
Absolutely not. Sorry, Charles. I cannot be coming back.
Sorry, Charles.
Sammy, did anything scary happen to you this week?
Something did, yes. I had a colonoscopy, as you guys know. For the listeners who don't know, I have ulcerative colitis. This was my third colonoscopy in like a year, basically. Been getting them more frequently than the average person.
Yeah.
And I actually don't mind the colonoscopies themselves because you're, you know, sedated and... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They say that it's twilight sedation, but I must be sensitive to it because I always just pass right out.
You're out.
This time, as she's injecting it into the IV, She's like, "Hey, it's going to be a little slower. We're doing it slower than normal." And I was like, "I feel it already." And that was my last, that's the last moment I remember. Like, whoa, I really feel it already. Gone. Done. Woke up and it's over. But the worst part about it is the fucking prep the day before and the morning of. And I just wanted to describe this to you guys because it's so horrible. So the day before colonoscopy, you're not allowed to have any solid foods. You have a clear liquid diet. I had bone broth and apple juice, which is pretty, you know, you've got my flavors covered. It could be worse. If it was just water, that would be worse. Could be better. Certainly could be better. But so I'm drinking that all day. 6 p.m., you got to drink 16 ounces of laxatives.
Oh, my God.
And then 32 ounces of water within an hour. So you're basically just chugging laxatives and water. And my insurance changed this year, and so it didn't cover the laxatives I used in my previous colonoscopies. And it's like this laxative was the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted in my 16 ounces. Entire life. 16 ounces. I had to take Zofran so I didn't throw up while I was drinking the laxatives. It was so disgusting. I'm going to describe it. The only way I can think to describe it, it's like thick salt water that they have sweetened with like medicinal, like cherry flavored sweetening. Sweet, thick salt water. It's so disgusting. I had never tasted anything so disgusting. And I would like try to take a bunch of sips to get it over with. And I would look back at the cup and there was no difference at all. The levels seemed like it just stayed the same for so long. And for some reason, I didn't think about using the apple juice as a chaser until the second dose. Because guess what? I had to wake up at 3:45 in the morning and do it again.
No.
You have to do it 4 hours prior to the procedure.
The prep is terrible for that.
Oh, it's so bad. So then, you're just like, please sedate me.
Like, you feel terrible.
I'm so hungry and so upset. I can't stop pooping.
So uncomfortable.
It's terrible. But the good news is I got good results this time. This was it was almost a fully clear colonoscopy, just so everybody knows.
We love to see it. We love to see it.
Yeah, so I don't have to get another one for 3 years, which is great news.
That's really great news.
But my God, what a disgusting taste.
I think they would have figured out a better way to do that.
Yeah, it's so rude. It's such a kick you while you're down situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's so rude that my insurance now is like, oh, the better tasting one? No, we don't cover that.
Oh, ew, no, take the gross one.
No, we
punish
only
her, punish her.
We only cover the really disgusting one. Jesus Christ. So anybody out there with colonoscopies coming up, I feel for you. But
God damn.
You know, the colonoscopy itself is not so bad. So,
and then afterwards, you got to eat a bunch of Easter candy.
Ooh, I bought myself so many snacks. I bought bagels and cream cheese and goldfish and Easter candy. Got all those discount caramel eggs.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So that was really wonderful. And I truly slept all day long, which was great.
Amazing.
Slept and ate.
That's what it's all about.
Anywho, another scary thing I did this week was go to the movie theater for a new horror release.
Oh my gosh.
Which is Late Night with the Devil. In theaters now, but coming to Shudder soon. It's a Shudder original. It was written and directed by Cameron and Colin Cairns, another brother duo, directing duo. They wrote, directed, and edited it.
Wow.
Starring David Desmalchin, Laura Gordon, Rhys Autery, Ian Bliss, Faisal Bazzi, and Ingrid Torelli. What do you guys know about this movie?
Absolutely nothing.
Had you even heard of it?
Jinx.
Had you even heard of it?
No, not until you went to see it. But I saw the other day that it has been very well received. So I am quite interested.
Me too. I don't know anything about it. I know nothing.
Yeah.
Is this one we're gonna hate this one? Are you gonna love this one?
I don't think you'll hate it.
Is it okay? Is it Supernatural?
Yes.
Hell yes. I was just thinking this morning, we've done a lot of really spooky bad people, and mm-hmm. I would like
Supernatural, please.
Some monster, give me a demon.
Yeah.
Some of that.
So
happening.
Right now in theaters, there's Late Night with the Devil, there's Immaculate, and there's The First Omen. So there's three devil demonic horror movies in theaters right now. And I am curious about all of them. But like I said, I feel like we're not going to have time to cover all of them, and at least like not as they're out
not
in
right
theaters
now.
Right now. Like certainly we could do them in the future, but I wanted to know what was the priority. So patrons chose Late Night with the Devil, Immaculate, and The First Omen were also in the poll, and this one won. So here we are.
Here we are. Thank you, patrons.
Thank
Love
you,
your
patrons.
Help on this. I will say, I went to the movies twice this week, which is more than I've been to the movies.
I was shocked when you texted last night that you were at the movies. I was like, she just went earlier this week.
Absolutely madness for me. But I saw the Abigail trailer, and it's not what I was expecting. And I am interested.
I think we will do
I am
that
too.
One. Yeah.
That one looks fun.
I'll also
it's
just
fun
say,
cast.
I saw one of the movies I saw this week was Godzilla, which is fun, but bad. And the other movie I saw is Monkey Man, which fucking rules. Mm-hmm. So go see Monkey Man. If
oh,
you
one
can.
Of the other news things I wanted to say was there's a trailer out for Cuckoo, which has been which has been delayed and delayed and delayed. And it's a horror movie with Hunter Schafer and Dan Stevens. Dan Stevens,
baby.
Also in Godzilla Kong, also in Abigail. He's just in everything right now.
He's in everything, which is how I would prefer it.
Yeah.
I would like Dan Stevens to be in everything.
He was great in Godzilla Kong.
He was great in Godzilla Kong. He's great in everything, man. And the fact that he can be that guy in Godzilla Kong and hot, scary, the guest guy.
Yep.
My goodness.
The range.
What can't he do? The range.
The absolute range.
Okay. But right now we're talking about Late Night with the Devil.
And we are. And you are correct. It has been very well reviewed. It has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. A
goodness.
72 on Metacritic and a 7.5 on IMDb.
Okay.
Pretty good. Budget, didn't get an exact number, but less than $2 million.
A holy shit.
Modest budget.
Very modest.
So far, it's made $8 million. So,
okay.
Pretty good. Some trivia related to the money that it made. This, I'm not sure if was just a marketing ploy, but on the Sunday of opening weekend, it made $666,666.
No.
I don't
the
think
the devil
I don't think
was
that's
speaking through the dollar bills of American citizens.
Capitalism is the devil. Capitalism is the devil.
I think it must be a marketing thing, but it's still kind of fun. As I looked it up, and it's inconclusive, and some article I read said that distributors are allowed to tweak the number by up to 5% to make up for something I can't remember. So I feel like it was probably in that range, and they were like, let's change it. We gotta do this. Which, I mean, I would as well.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Stephen King tweeted about this movie. That's another reason I feel like, was getting a little boost of people wanting to check it out. He tweeted that he loved it, couldn't take his eyes off it. And I gotta say, I do appreciate Stephen King sees all the new releases, and
he does.
Tweets about them all the time.
Yeah, he's a horror fan.
Love
you gotta,
the way.
You gotta respect.
You gotta respect it. He really does support upcoming horror filmmakers, and I really do like that about him.
Yeah, I do love that.
And this, I can't remember if we talked about this, but in our Lake Mungo episode, you may recall that director kind of disappeared after the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Not in a missing persons type way, but just in a never really made anything again, kind of fell off the map. And he's a producer on this movie. So
he's back.
Random.
He's back. However many, what is that? Probably a decade later, he's dipping a toe back in horror filmmaking.
Wow.
But what an elusive guy, I feel like.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the devil.
Maybe.
He might be the devil.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never
know. I mean, that's one explanation.
You guys may have heard about this, although I guess probably not if you hadn't heard about the movie, but this did make a splash in a negative way, splash, because it does have AI-generated moments in it. So people were really upset about this.
Like actors being AI-generated?
No, they're, so it's like a late-night talk show, centered around a late-night talk show, and when it cuts to commercial, cards come up that say, like, you know, whatever, coming back or in 5 minutes or whatever, like, we'll be back soon. And those cards were AI generated.
Mm.
Okay.
People were very upset about this. I wrote down a statement from the directors. They said, in conjunction with our amazing graphics and production design team, all of whom worked tirelessly to give this film the 70s aesthetic we had always imagined, we experimented with AI for 3 still images, which we edited further and ultimately appear as very brief interstitials in the film. So, you know, did they need to do that? No, but
yeah,
just figured I would.
They did.
They did do it.
And it would have been before probably
all the conversation
all the
about
contract renegotiations, even though this would fall under IATSE probably purview,
yeah.
But still, I do feel like, I mean, it's not great, but I give a little more space to people who were doing it before we all went, hey, this is taking away
right.
a lot of jobs and is leading down a dark path. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, not the best thing for your film to be making headlines about, but.
No.
You know, it is what it is. And hopefully they learn from that and don't do it in the future. The latest season of True Detective also had some AI generated art in it. We don't need to do that.
We don't need to do it.
And then last, but most importantly, I need to remind you guys of what I think of every time I see David Dalsmachin, the star of this movie, is the time that I saw him at CVS with his child on a leash.
And thank you. I love to be reminded of it. I really do.
I literally can't see him without thinking about it.
I really love I love everything about that, because, you know, you often see people with their children on leashes in crowded, chaotic places such as Disneyland, Universal Studios,
the airport.
But I love that he had to put it on for CVS.
CVS,
for
you know,
trip to the pharmacy.
My happiest place on earth.
Right.
Yeah. Disneyland
right.
for some of
your
us.
Your Disney World.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
He did look very stressed. The kid did look like a runner.
Yeah, no judgment. Do what you gotta do, you know? Uh-huh. I don't have a kid, and if I did, they'd probably be on a leash 24/7. In my own home, everywhere. Leash them up.
But it was
I'm kidding, obviously. Don't come at me.
My cousin was a leash kid, and, you know? You do what you gotta do, as long as they get some time off leash.
Give them a yard or something they can run around in a fenced in area and
we're good. But I gotta say, it came in really handy. Anytime anything scary happened, you can just go, he had his kid on a leash on CBS. And it really brings you right back to reality. And
great. I'll hold on to that. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, so that's a nice tool to have on hand. So we will watch the trailer for this at the end of the episode. That will be available as a video on our Patreon. But I say we just get right into this. 40 minutes into the podcast, I think it's time.
Let's do it.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever. Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-day blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the US, and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem, because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install, so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. One last time, that's the number 3daybblinds.com/too scary.
Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we got to be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you, because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself, because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top quality award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes. Variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? This is such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary and use code too scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code too scary so they know I sent you.
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time, not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it. And it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them. And now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them. And they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
So I will give a disclaimer that I saw this in theaters one time. So it's not going to be perfect, but I think, you know, as usual, it's going to still be pretty good.
It's going to be good. Yeah.
It'll be good. We're not worried.
I saw this with former guest of the pod, Rebecca Lee. We had a great time.
She's the best.
And so the movie starts, you know how with independent film and foreign films, sometimes there's a lot more logos than normal in the beginning of the movie because there's more production companies involved. This had such an extreme amount of logos that I thought it was a bit, but I looked it up later. It's not a bit.
Okay. Just took a lot of people.
It was like probably double digits. I think we hit like 10 production companies.
Wow.
It's crazy. The whole audience was laughing. It was just like, another one. Oh my God.
Oh, that's very funny.
That was kind of a fun way to start the movie.
Uh-huh.
They had to drum up that $2 million somehow.
Yeah. Look, I get it. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We start with some, it's kind of found footage style. It's a documentary being made about this late night talk show host. So we're looking back in time, learning about a late night talk show host named Jack Delroy. The late night show is called Night Owls. And It's one of the smaller talk shows competing with Carson. Jack Del Roy, played by David Dousmachin, who, you know, is making jokes about my parents are at home watching right now, laughing because they're watching Johnny Carson. And so he's self-deprecating about he knows he's not the top late night talk show host. He's got his own little Guillermo. I don't watch a lot of late night talk shows.
Me neither.
And I'm not really a big fan of them. I'll watch a clip here and there. Stewart day drinking with Seth
Meyers. I watch that.
I was gonna say Seth Rogen. That's not right.
Different show.
But I know who Guillermo is, and Jack Del Roy has his own Guillermo, the sidekick person that they chat with. This
Guillermo,
guy's name,
Andy Richter.
Yes, Andy Richter.
This is our vibe.
Yep. This guy's name is Gus.
Great.
There's a narrator talking over this prologue, kind of introducing us to Jack Del Roy, Gus, telling us a little bit about him, where he grew up, I can't remember, and says him and his wife, Madeline, were this extremely solid couple for being in the entertainment industry. They were just, you know, the Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell of late night television, just totally in love and just a very cute couple. There's some information that Jack is a member of a gentleman's club called The Grove, where it kind of comes out of nowhere, and we're like, what? It's a very exclusive club for rich men, essentially, in the entertainment industry. And we're seeing little clips of it, like archival clips of this gentleman's club, looking a little culty. We're bookmarking that. What the hell is this? Now we're going back to his talk show, where they're telling us that the ratings are kind of steadily declining year after year. And he's trying everything to get those ratings back up. Having more outlandish guests on kind of devolves into a Jerry Springer looking thing at one time. And it's not doing the trick, not getting those ratings back up. And then at some point, his wife is diagnosed with terminal lung cancer.
Oh, boy.
Despite never smoking a cigarette in her life. She comes on the show while she is going through chemo, and they have this like very emotional talk on air where she's telling stories of how they met, the early days of their love and falling in love, and it's very sweet and sad. And it gets their highest ratings in a while, but it's still nowhere near Carson. And then shortly after, she passes away, and he steps away. He takes a hiatus, and they go off the air for a while. But after, I don't know if it's 6 months or a year, he returns, and the audience is, you know, standing ovation, cheering for him. It's this like emotional return to the stage, and the ratings are still bad. And he is determined to get these ratings up, and so decides that they're going to have an occult-themed show live on Halloween. This is in 1977, and the narrator tells us that what we are about to see is never-before-seen footage of that episode taping and behind-the-scenes content of that episode.
Fun.
End of the prologue, and the rest of the movie plays out like a live hour of television.
Oh, cool.
It's really cool.
Oh, I love that. So wait, so this was supposed to have aired live. So it did air. But it says never before seen, so it didn't air.
Oh, maybe the behind the scenes stuff is the never before seen stuff.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it was live, so it must have aired.
Right.
We're assuming that this was the last episode of the show that ever aired. We know that something bad is about to happen here.
That's a, that I does love that seem, setup.
Yeah.
That's such a good setup.
Yeah. So we are basically starting at the beginning of an episode. The little intro tune plays and Jack Delroy steps out, does his little bit of crowd work at the beginning. And he's, you know, says, you know, we got a great show for you tonight. Announces the lineup. We've got a psychic coming. His name's Christu. It's going to be our first act. And then we have a former magician turned skeptic, Carmichael the Conjurer. He's going to come out afterwards. And then we have a parapsychologist and author.
It's very funny to be a magician turned skeptic. Like, you know whether or not you were doing.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. All you think I'm doing is fake.
Yeah. Then we have a parapsychologist author named June Ross Mitchell and the subject of her new book, Conversations with the Devil. It's a girl named Lily. And finally, we've got a musician, Cleo James, going to close out the night for us. It's going to be a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Great. First up, let's welcome Christu. We see the like live audience in the room of this of the studio, and a lot of them are dressed up for Halloween. So there's people with masks on. There's a little bit of an ominous feeling just from the audience.
Cool.
I feel like looking out at some of them, there's one person dressed as a skeleton that has a mask over their face that just is like sitting a little too still. Never really clapping.
Masks are scary. Masks will do a lot of the work for you.
Yep. Yep. Very true. It's because what we don't know is the scariest thing of all.
What's behind that mask?
So Christu comes up. He starts like focusing in. He's like rubbing his fingers on his temples, focusing, opening up the channel for the spirits to speak to him. And he goes like, I'm hearing John. John? Anybody know John? Maybe Johnson? Maybe Johnny? Maybe Gene? Like, it's like such a blanket reach.
So fake.
Like, it's very fake. A guy eventually stands up and is like, my ex-wife's last name is John, or her maiden name was Johnson, and he's like, that could be it. That could be it. And she's passed away, and he's like, no, not that I know of. He's like, it's just so obviously reaching. He's not wowing anybody.
Mm-hmm.
This guy that stands up makes him look like an idiot. So he drops that one. He's like, oh, that spirit's gone.
Okay.
Opening up now to another one. Let's see. And he says a more specific name this time. And I can't remember what it is, but these two women in the front row raise their hands. It's a mother and daughter. And the younger girl says, oh, that was my brother's name. Find out that he did pass away. It's feeling really emotional. This is seeming more legit. He's saying more specifics. Like he says the name of this boy's teddy bear. And the mom is crying. And we find out that this her son had committed suicide. And it's like one of those that you would see on TV where it's like he says, like, he's at peace now and you don't have to worry about him. And just like a very, what appears to be a very successful crossing over to the other side and like a healing moment for the mom and sister. And everyone is very moved, including Jack Delroy. They're all clapping like, oh my God, that was amazing. And they're about to cut to commercial. Jack Delroy's like, thank you so much. Everybody give it up for Christu. When Christu like drops to his knees, seemingly in pain, and is like, bowled over by a very strong negative presence. And Jack is looking like, is this real? What's happening? Christu is saying, I'm hearing Minnie. Oh, this spirit is so angry. Oh, they're so angry. It's so evil. Like, I don't know. But it like we see it looks very legit. And the audience doesn't see, or maybe not close enough to see, but we see his eyes roll up in his head. So you can't see his pupils anymore. And he's like almost seizing. It's scary. Like, this is a real spirit, evil spirit that is trying to speak to him, and he's begging, like, please, Minnie, like, Minnie, so who knows Minnie? Like, she needs to talk to you, and she's so angry, and nobody's speaking up. Everyone looks scared, and eventually it passes, and he kind of collapses on the ground, gasping for air, just totally overwhelmed by that, and they cut to commercial. And this is where we get our AI-generated commercial cards. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, also during that, the like lights were flickering in the studio. It was dramatic.
Spooky.
Christu, hope you're okay.
And during the commercial breaks, the footage changes to black and white. So this is the behind-the-scenes footage now.
Oh, cool.
And so again, it all plays out like as if it's real time. So we follow directly from when they cut to commercial. Now we see them kind of resetting, the makeup girl coming out and like retouching all of their makeup. Christu is like asking to leave. He's like, I need to get out of here. And the producer is like, no, like we've gotten the best ratings we've ever had. Like you have to stay. Sits him down in the, you know, interview chairs. There's four chairs set up. They're going to be bringing out the next guest now. Christu is not really speaking. He's looking very shaken. They get him some water, but he looks like he really doesn't want to be there. This like black and white footage reminded me of a movie that I haven't seen in a long time, but I remember really liking called Living in Oblivion with Steve Buscemi, where it's mostly black and white. I think it also goes in color too, a movie of like a behind the scenes of making a movie. That's a very funny movie, if anybody's seen Living in Oblivion. And we're all set now for the next segment. Do a little countdown live in 5, 4, 3. And we're back, and audience is clapping again. They say, oh, if you're joining us, we just saw quite the demonstration with Christu. Christu's like, looks so bad. He's just like sweaty and like just absolutely terrified and like terrified. wants to be anywhere but there. And they bring out our next guest, Carmichael the Conjurer. This is our skeptic who comes out, immediately starts ridiculing Christu, and is just like, that performance was I've seen it a million times. Like, what a hack.
That's not nice. That's not nice.
No, it's very it's rude.
Like, again, he was a magician. All magicians are hacks.
It's That's very funny to think, like, yeah, everybody believes everything they see, and I need to set the record straight. So he starts explaining how, you know, the basic psychic tricks work, the typical things they do where they use vague terms, or they'll look things up beforehand, or they'll have plants in the audience. And he explains away the flickering lights, like, you guys obviously did that in the back. Jack is saying, like, we didn't. And he's like, yeah, I'm sure you didn't.
So it's like so rude to this mom and daughter who had a really emotional experience to be like, you were lied to, actually.
Yeah,
your dead son, he's fucking dead.
Yeah. And maybe you guys
he's
are
not
actors.
Having a good time. He's not at peace.
Yeah. So he also has a standing offer of $100,000 to whoever can prove without a doubt in the existence of anything paranormal. He's so confident that none of it is real that he is offering this
what
huge
a bummer of a time.
I know. It's a real bummer.
I hate this vibe.
Yeah, it's really unnecessary. So at this moment, as Carmichael is shitting on everything, being like, fake, it's all fake, Jack says, well, hang on a second. I didn't say this in the moment because I was a little overwhelmed, but Minnie is actually the private nickname I used for my wife, Madeline. And there's no way
shit
that Christu could have known that. Like
and Christy's like,
yeah, and Carmichael is still not buying it, and Christu is now getting angry and yelling back, defending himself. Like, I, this is real. I don't know what's going on. I've never felt anything this strong. Like, Minnie has something she needs to say, and the tension is building. They're now like screaming at each other. Jack is trying to get it under control, being like, gentlemen, gentlemen, like, let's take a step back. And then Christu starts projectile vomiting like black tar looking liquid.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And we're like, cut to commercial, cut. We're backstage again. Christu is unconscious on the ground. They carry him out. They're calling an ambulance. Carmichael's still being like, I've seen this 100 times.
Fucking piece of shit.
He's like, fake vomiting is something a lot of psychics and magicians can train themselves how to do. I can't remember the term.
And obviously he ate tar before coming here, so I'm not impressed.
Oldest trick in the book. So Christu is rushed to the hospital. The producer's talking to Jack saying, our ratings are so, they're so good. These are the best they've ever been. People are really tuning in. And I guess in the audience, there's some advertiser or sponsor. And he's like, they're feeling really impressed. You got to go over and talk to them at some point. Jack is feeling overwhelmed and pulled in multiple directions. So he's like, not now, but I will talk to them. I'm going to talk to them. And they're like, this is great. We're going to be able to stay on the air. We're going to make more money. We're all going to get to keep our jobs. Cameras go back up, segment 3, and we're live. We see Carmichael explaining again to the audience how people do that vomiting trick. He's no fun at all.
Absolutely no fun.
But it also is kind of fun, though, to have in this context a person who is for sure about to be proven so wrong. And I'm really excited about that.
And I think he is based on a real person that this was their vibe. Next up, we have the parapsychologist June and the subject of her book, Lily, who now this archival clip comes up to fill us in on Lily's backstory. There's some footage of a satanic cult that worshipped one of Satan's minions named Abraxas. And I'm the mythology here, I'm not going to get correct, but I did recognize Abraxas. They talk about Abraxas in Mandy. So,
interesting name.
Yeah.
Abraxas. Sounds like a standardized test.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does.
Yes. What'd you get on your Abraxas?
I had to take the Abraxas 4 times.
And so we're seeing, you know, very satanic culty footage of all these people in red robes reading from, I don't know, some devil scripture. And they eventually have a mass suicide. They all drink poison except for Lily. So she's the only surviving member of this cult. They did a lot of human sacrificing in this cult, so she's had a very traumatic childhood. She's, I think, around 14 now. And so throughout her childhood, she would see members of her family or friends being sacrificed.
Oh my God.
So her and June now walk out, and there's a very funny bit in this movie where Lily just stares at all of the cameras in late night. You're supposed to, you know, kind of act like they're not there. You're looking at the person you're speaking to, and she just answers everything like locking eyes with whatever camera. And if a camera moves next to her, it'll cut to that and she'll turn and look at that one. It's very funny. That. And Jack keeps telling her, you don't have to look at the cameras. Like, you can look at me. And she just can't stop looking at the cameras. It's very funny. And this actress reminded me a lot of Joey King mixed with Sydney Sweeney. Joey King is in the
combo.
Conjuring. Mm-hmm. So that little demonic connection there probably helped me make that connection. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she was great. Loved her in this. And so after she survived this mass suicide, June took her in to first, you know, like do therapy sessions with her, and then adopted her, which seems unethical to me.
But how old is June? Is June 14 currently?
No. Or Lily's 14 currently.
Oh, sorry. I mean Lily. Yeah. Lily's 14 currently. Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah, that does seem unethical.
Right. Yeah, and so she is her mom, but also her therapist. And also sometimes hypnotizes her so she can speak to the demon that still lives inside of her. And that is what Conversations with the Devil is about. It's she's able to speak to one of these entities that was in contact with this cult that has apparently taken residence within Lily.
Wow. Fun perspective to be like, it was a demonic cult. Obviously, the demon was real and was talking to them.
Mm-hmm. I know,
normally
exactly.
With cult stuff, it's...
Right.
Isn't it wild that they believed this thing? Like, it was true. And I talk to the demon sometimes.
Yep. And Lily, again, while staring straight into camera, describes how the demon that lives within her, she refers to as Mr. Wriggles. Because she can feel him wriggling around.
Ew!
I hate that.
Carmichael is rolling his eyes. All a bunch of bullshit. And Lily makes a little mention about June thinking Jack Delroy is so handsome. Kind of outs her for having a crush on him in a way that they both react to a little awkwardly. Like, oh, ha ha ha. That's so funny, Lily. It's an awkward moment. And they bring out some of the items that were used in the rituals in this cult. There's like a skull and one of the texts, and there's a dagger that they would use for the sacrifices. All some nasty looking stuff. We look at that and then cut to another time for another commercial break. We'll be right back. AI title card. And in between segments, the makeup lady comes around again, and Jack tells Lily, like, she's going to make sure you look pretty, like, pretty enough for the camera. And in a slightly different voice, while he's not looking, he's faced away from her, Lily says, "Don't I already look pretty, Jack?" You can tell it rattles him. He whips his head around. She's smiling normally at him. And he's like, "Of course. Yeah." It's a weird moment. Creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mr. Wriggles is present.
And he tells June backstage, Jack and June are backstage. And we do see now that it seems like they have some sort of intimate relationship. They are standing pretty closely, look very comfortable being alone together.
Perhaps this is something that Minnie wants to talk about.
Perhaps.
Exactamundo.
Perhaps. And he says that he wants to do what they discussed. He wants to do the demonstration. And June seems very against this. She says, "I don't know, things have been getting a little more unpredictable lately. Lily has been harder to pull back from those moments when we go into the trances. It's just..."
She is my daughter.
She does not mention that because, again, I don't think that's her number one priority. Yeah. It's a real conflict of interest when, again, we talked about this on a bonus episode.
Shouldn't kids, make money off your children.
It should not be your source of income. So, but she is saying it's too dangerous. There's too many variables here in the studio. There's a live studio audience. I need the setting when we hypnotize her to be extremely controlled. I need to be able to be her main focus. There can't be so many distractions around. Jack is begging her, "Please, please, our ratings are going through the roof. It'll be so worth it for me."
Mm-hmm.
She says no. She sticks to it. As they're about to go back on, the producer pulls Jack aside and says, "Don't tell anybody this, but Christu did die on the way to the hospital."
What? Oh my God.
Oh my God. We're going to keep that under wraps for now, but just so you know, he did die. Yeah, he did die.
Oh God.
Gus hears this as well and starts freaking out. Pulls Jack aside and is begging him, "We've got to end the show. This is really weird. Something really weird is going on. You're messing with things you don't understand, and you're being too cavalier about this. We need to take this seriously. Mm-hmm. Somebody is dead. Like, we can't go on. Jack brushes him off. Nope.
Oh, poor Gus.
Gus is looking so nervous. He's like, get back out there. We're doing this. Segment 4. We're rolling. We have now set up in the middle of the stage, two chairs facing each other. In one chair is Lily strapped. Her arms and legs are strapped to the chair. And no. June is sitting across from her, and we're doing the freaking demonstration.
But she said no.
I think there is a bit of another lead up to this where Jack does a very mean thing where he on air like says to the audience, don't you guys want to see a demonstration? Mm-hmm. And corners her. And Lily is like, I really want to do it. Lily's liking the limelight and staring straight into
and
camera.
The demon wants to come out.
Yes, exactly. And so it basically, he makes June look like a real bitch for not wanting to do it. And so she feels pressured. Real dick move.
Ay-yay.
So they do it. And she starts by lulling Lily into kind of a hypnotized state, doing a like meditation, focus on my voice, breathe in and out. And can we talk to Mr. Riggles? And Lily's head is hanging down. We hear this demonic laughter. I'm sure you've heard this type of laughter before. It's like mm-hmm. a and she slowly lifts her head up, and her long hair is covering most of her face, and you just see one of her eyes, and it's definitely not the eye that we saw before. Her face has changed into a little demon face, and the first thing she says is, nice to see you again, Jack. And Jack is looking scared. What the fuck is going on? Electricity's flickering again.
If I were one of the studio audience members here, I would be so pissed. I would be like, are you fucking kidding me? It'll be like the time that I stayed at a cabin with friends for fall break in college and they decided to do a Ouija board and I was livid. I said, don't you do that on your own danger. Time. Do not bring a demon to this house while I am staying in it.
I didn't agree to this.
I did not agree to this.
And in the 70s, too, we like know that they don't have this level of production.
No.
No. You know it's real.
It's got to be real. It's real. 70s, it's absolutely real.
Carmichael's still sitting in his chair, rolling his eyes, like, sure, whatever. The chair is levitating now. A lot of undeniable proof that this is real, but Carmichael's like, fake. And it's clear that it's getting out of control. The audience is told to be very quiet, but they're gasping and they're shocked by what they see, so they're not able to be completely quiet. And them gasping or calling out is turning the demon slash Lily's attention towards them. So June is saying, like, Lily, look at me, back to me. And she's not looking. Lights are going out now. There's power surges. There's like electricity flaring and people are screaming. Carmichael goes and unplugs something and the lights go back to normal. And he's like, it's all bullshit. This is all bullshit. And in that moment, the chair like comes back down. She's able to look. Lily and June are able to look in each other's eyes and she's like, back to me. And Lily kind of returns to herself and is immediately so embarrassed. It's really sad. Again, why children should not be made to do performances for the sake of adults. And she's humiliated. She's like, I'm so sorry. Oh, also in the moment where it is the demon speaking, Mr. Riggles speaking, she fully reveals that Jack and June are having an affair live on air. And we're getting the sense that this is either Minnie or the demon knows about Minnie. And she had said things like, how could you, Jack? How could you? And so
so perhaps this has been going on since before his wife died.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things, sorry, while they're the demonstration is happening, Jack says, like, who are you? What do you want? And Lily slash demon says, we first met under the tall trees. And the gentleman's club that he's part of, the Grove, the footage that we saw of that mm-hmm. was like in a forest. Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay. So, okay, now Lily's back to her normal self. She's apologizing. I'm so sorry. She's so embarrassed. June is furious with Jack, obviously. Cut to commercial. We get them back in the chairs. She's like, June is yelling at Jack. Like, I told you. What did I tell you? This was a bad idea. I can't believe you made me do that. He's like, I'm sorry. Like, we'll just close out the show. Like, we won't do that again. Segment 5, come back. We're live. And they're all back sitting in the chairs, Carmichael, Jack, June, and Lily. And Jack says, how do you explain that, Carmichael? And he goes, you know what? I can do you better than explain it. I can show you how I would do it. He's like, I'm going to need a volunteer.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Here we go.
And Gus goes like, uh-oh, feel sorry for whoever the volunteer is. And he's like, you'll be perfect, Gus.
No.
No. Oh, no, Gus. No.
Pulls Gus over to the same two chairs set up. They're facing each other. And Carmichael pulls out a watch and is, you know, swinging it from side to side. He's like, just stare at the watch. And then he waves his hand over it. And the face of the watch turns into this little black and white spiral that's hypnotizing him. He's like, just stare at this. And the spiral is taking up like the whole screen of the movie. So you're just like staring at this for a while. It's almost like it's going to be one of those optical illusion things. Mm. And they're putting it up on the screen in the theater as well, in like the studio. So everyone can see this very close up in there. Just like stare at it. Mm. And he does that for a while. And then he sits down. He's like, okay, so Gus, how are you feeling? Gus says, like, I'm so hot. It's so hot in here. And he starts like taking off his jacket and starts taking off his undershirt. And it's Donnie Darko all over again, where we're just like hypnotizing people should be illegal.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not right. We find out that Gus is very afraid of worms. And I think he might just ask him, he's like, what's your biggest fear? And he's like, worms. He says, why do you hate worms so much? And he's like, because they're wriggly and they don't have arms or legs and they're slimy and gross. And then Carmichael says, Gus, what's on your neck? And we see a cut on Gus's neck. And Gus says, you know, I cut myself shaving. Oh, yeah. And he's like, I don't think that's it. And like, is that all that happened? And Gus reaches towards the cut and starts pulling out a worm.
Oh, Carmichael is evil. Carmichael is the problem. Carmichael needs to go home right now.
But we're all seeing it too, and we're scared. And he starts pulling more and more worms out of his neck. Gus is screaming. No. And then he's like, worms, worms. Like, I can feel them all over me. I can feel them inside of me. And he like rips open his undershirt and like we see his belly moving in a way like there's worms under his skin, and he uses his fingers to rip his own stomach open, and all these worms are pouring out. Everybody's screaming. It's disgusting. And then Carmichael snaps and says, back to me. Everything goes normal again. Everyone's shocked. What the fuck? We all don't know what the hell just happened. And Carmichael says, I just... You know, that's the power of hypnotism, is I can make you see things that aren't there. He's like, play back the tape. And we rewind the tape and see that none of it had happened. He's like, I basically hypnotized the whole audience. And they even do a thing where Jack turns to the audience and he's like, did everybody see the worms? And like 5 people raise their hands like, I didn't. And he's like, so I didn't get everybody. It's not 100% effective, but most people did. And that's pretty impressive. And like, that's what happened.
And Gus is okay. He didn't actually hurt himself. No. Okay.
For now.
Okay. For now. And so this is pretty compelling. We're all like, okay, maybe that is what happened for this previous demonstration and it was all faked. And then Lily chimes in and says, if you think that, play back our section of the tape as well, and you'll see whether or not it was real. So they're like, okay, yeah, good idea.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
They're running overtime now. It's supposed to be going on to Cleo James, the musician. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we didn't plan for all of this. And we're like, we got to go to Cleo James. And the audience is like, no, like, we got to see the tape. And Jack makes a game time decision. I can't leave the audience hanging like this. Cleo, we'll have you back next week.
Sorry, Cleo.
We got to go to commercial. And when we come back, we'll watch this part of the tape again. And we go to commercial, come back, and we're playing it back. And guess what? It's real. We are not. Mm-hmm. We're seeing exactly the same thing again. The levitating, the demonic face. And we see a brief image of Madeline's ghost behind Jack. So not only are we seeing everything we saw, we're seeing additional things that weren't in the studio.
What does Carmichael have to say about that?
Carmichael is furious at Jack. He says, I can't believe this is unethical of you because you had to do this beforehand. You filmed and edited the exact same thing. Like, that is not right. And Jack is like, I didn't do any of this. Like, what are you talking about? They do find out earlier that one of the odd, not the mother and daughter, but the first guy that Chris Stu was talking to was an audience plant. The one that,
not a very good one.
The one that debunked it and like made him look like an idiot. But it's enough to know that the producers had been meddling in the show at one point. And so Carmichael is convinced that this was all a setup and you must have filmed this beforehand. June is saying, like, I don't know what else you need. This is proof. Like, it's happening in front of your eyes. And they're all screaming at each other. Things are once again getting out of hand. And then Lily starts kind of moaning and folding, like hanging her head down, like as if her stomach hurts. And people are turning to Lily. Lily, are you okay? What's going on? She whips her head up and starts screaming. And she has this like electricity pulsing around her. Like she, I don't know, has these like little bolts of electricity vibrating along her skin. And then she starts screaming and her arms whip out to either side and full bolts of electricity are like connecting her to the TVs and the lights. And she's screaming and screaming. Everybody's screaming now. The audience, even Carmichael looks convinced and scared.
Yeah, I mean, electricity is coming out of a girl.
Yeah,
that feels
hard to fake. Yeah.
Hard to fake.
Mm-hmm. In the 70s?
In the 70s, you absolutely can't fake it.
Then her head splits open, hot dog style.
No.
And it's
can't fake that.
It's glowing. It's not gory. It more just looks like a
light's coming out of it.
Yes. And
like how Godzilla's radiation comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And Gus is sitting close to her and stands up to run away, and she turns to him, and we're hearing the demonic-y voice. This is obviously not Lily anymore. And she turns to Gus and just does a motion of her hand, and Gus's head spins 360 degrees, just snaps. He falls onto the table. Glass shatters everywhere. Glasses, all their like water glasses are spontaneously exploding. People are running out of the studio screaming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. June is trying to be like, Lily, back to me. And Lily.
Cat's out of the bag, June.
Now this is when you want a leash. Just a little yank. Lily.
Lily turns to June, and June's cross necklace starts strangling her and pulling her up in the air and eventually slits her throat. June's dead. Carmichael drops to his knees, finally believing, and she looks at him and he just starts melting, I think. I can't remember exactly. Things get a pretty crazy here, but
yeah.
I'm pretty sure his skin melts off his body and he just like liquefies.
Ew.
And all this chaos is happening. Jack is watching this all unfold. And then it snaps to an empty studio. And it's just him there. And he's confused, doesn't know what the fuck is going on, and starts reliving moments that we had seen in the opening prologue, like the conversation with his wife. But he's reliving them as him in this present moment. And so he's just basically like, what the fuck, in all of these moments where he's supposed to be on live television and everyone's like shocked by him having this conversation with his wife, where he's just like, what's going on? What's happening? Where? And they're like, what do you mean, Jack? Like, what? Like, are you okay? Mm. And he's just being dropped in and out of these moments in time of his career and spiraling in confusion. And it's very disorienting. And he ultimately ends up, the stage set opens up, revealing a hospital bed where his wife is, her deathbed. Mm. And she's, he runs to be at her bedside and he's crying and he's like, Minnie, I don't know what's happening. I'm so like, I don't know what's going on. And she's soothing him, but obviously mad about something. And she's saying again, like, how could you let it happen, Jack? How could you do that? She says something like, he's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, you did this to me. Was it worth it? And we learn somehow, I can't remember exactly how, but at the Grove, the weird gentleman's cult club, mm-hmm. he made a deal with, I guess, Mr. Riggles, or at least Mr. Mm-hmm. Riggles knows about it, to essentially sacrifice his wife for success in the industry. And she's like saying, was it worth it?
So she knows,
I think, because she's like also Mr. Riggles
now
at
she's
this
dead
moment.
And has met
I see,
Mr. Riggles maybe
yeah
I see.
And he's crying and he's like, please forgive me, I'm so sorry.
No, I ain't gonna forgive you for that.
No. And she says, I'm in so much pain, Jack, please just kill me. And we look over at the hospital side table and there's the dagger that was used in the cult sacrifices. And he's begging her, no, please, I can't do that. And she's like, it's the least you could do. Put me out of my misery that you put me in. And he's crying, but he grabs the dagger and he's just saying like, I'm sorry. And stabs her in the heart. And then it cuts back to present day set. He has stabbed Lily in the heart.
Oh, geez.
And we see all the dead bodies around him. Gus, June, Carmichael, now Lily. And the rest of the studio is empty. He's crying. And he starts like snapping his fingers. And he's like, back to me. He's like trying to snap himself out of it. And that's the end of the movie.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Whoa.
Okay, so we have to talk about whether this was actually seen by people or not. Are we supposed to believe people saw this?
I would imagine that they took it off air at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And right. So some of the earlier segments, I bet people saw.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, we probably should stop after all these people
and
have died on
because we're all also gone, I'm sure the people backstage have also fled at some point.
Yeah. Wow.
Dang.
Oh.
This is why you don't make a deal with the devil.
No. You really don't.
Pretty simple.
Not for career success. My God, how boring.
And also, like, mm-hmm. when did he make this deal? Because he was not having a ton of success. I mean, he was...
Well,
I
and know. It seems like this is, you know, that's the thing about making a deal with the devil. We know this by now. Mm. The devil's gonna fuck with you. The devil's gonna give you their version.
Yep.
Whatever this is, you know, this episode, I'm sure, ratings shot through the fucking roof.
Yeah. Yep, there's always an asterisk.
There's
always some fine print when you make a deal with the devil. You got to read that fine print.
You got to read the fine print.
This was fun, though. This is a fun
one.
It's
very fun, and it felt very
really fun idea.
Unique. Yeah, just I had not seen anything like it, and I feel like that's hard to do these days.
Also, you can you kind of know what you're headed towards, mm-hmm. but it's still like fun to anticipate. Mm-hmm. It's not like one where you like know where you're headed towards and you're, the whole time you're just like, I know we're headed towards this thing and I hate this.
Yeah.
It's like a fun journey to get there.
Yeah. And we didn't do a lot of explaining. Here's the logistics of the cult and the demon. I love that it's just you fucked with a demon and mm-hmm. chaos ensues. Here's, and a bunch of people die and that's that. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be spooky and scary.
Yeah.
That's, I feel like that's refreshing for me.
Yeah. I will say it's not super scary. I do feel like the first half of it is not really scary at all. But mm-hmm. it's a very, I love, you know, we've talked about this a million times. I love a wild third act and it gets mm-hmm. a little mind-bendy and weird, dipping in and out of realities. And I really enjoyed that. But there's not too, it's not like super scary. And maybe I just feel that way because I could just always picture him with his kid on a leash in CVS.
Perhaps.
That's it.
And now all of us can picture that as well. So thank you.
Thank you. It's really important.
What a fun time.
Yeah.
This was nice. This was really nice.
Thank you, patrons.
I feel good.
Picked a good
thank
one.
Thank you, patrons.
And yeah, I think it'll be on Shudder pretty soon. So if you feel like checking it out, I think it'll be available, you know, in the near future.
Amazing.
And it's a quick one. I think it's a 90-minute one.
Easy breezy.
Easy breezy.
Flew by, baby.
Just doesn't get better.
It doesn't get better than that. Yeah, I had a fun time with this one. And glad to not ruin your guys' days.
Yeah, not ruined at all.
Yeah, day not ruined.
I'm feeling great.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we will be back next week with, I think, a pretty special episode.
I think it's going to be special, if I had to guess.
If I had to guess, it'll be Emily's birthday episode. And... yeah.
It'll be special for me.
No. Brace yourselves.
You may be able to guess what direction we might be heading.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait, personally. And yeah, so we'll see you then. I'll do a demon voice for us.
Thank you.
To sign us out.
Thank you.
Let me do the laugh to like get into it.
From all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch. Goodbye.
We did it. We made it. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch.
If you enjoy the show, please remember to subscribe and rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. 5 stars only, or we will haunt you.
And if you simply can't get enough of us, we have good news for you. We have lots of bonus content available on our Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW podcast.
You'll get access to video trailer reactions, 2 bonus episodes a month, the power to vote for upcoming episodes, and more.
And last but not least, you can follow us on social media at TSDW podcast.
We'll be back next week with a new episode.
We love you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.